Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with
Deborah Monk.
And we are here talking about Mrs. Miller Does Her Thing, which is at Signature Theater down in Shirlington now through March 26th. Deborah, thanks so much. This is an honor.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Let's start out, in case our listeners have never heard of the show, tell them what it's about.
Well, Mrs. Miller was a true-to-life character who, in the late 60s, had a short but kind of surprising and exciting singing career. She started off as a 58-year-old woman who sang in church in Claremont, California. Not a great singer, a soprano who was not always known for her hitting the right notes or even being in the right time. But there was a little recording made of Downtown that she did, which all of a sudden Capitol Records got a hold of, and it became like she became an overnight sensation, basically, in the United States for like a short time.
Yeah, that's so great. You said that it seems like you guys, you know, make hay of and have fun with the fact that she didn't have the best voice. I've seen that in the descriptions of the show as well, and you just mentioned it. Do you guys play that for laughs, or how to, you know, explain how that works?
Well, I mean, it's funny. I mean, she took herself seriously as a singer. And I have to say that James Lapine wrote this piece because he wanted to write about that period of time in the 60s, because it was the Vietnam War, it was civil rights, a lot of things were happening in our country. And when he discovered Mrs. Miller, he thought, well, this is my way in. So it's about a lot of things, not just her career. But, you know, I always say she loved to sing. She thought she was a good singer. And this happened to her, and people made fun of her, but she was a person who loved to sing and loved the spotlight, too. So I think she enjoyed this time, even though people considered her a bit of a joke.
Sounds like she got the last laugh, though. She got some recording deals out of it.
She did. She got recordings. She made some money. She, like I said, she was on the Ed Sullivan Show. She went to the USO Show with Bob Hope. She made four albums. She did the Jimmy Durante Show. So she was on television a lot and did a lot of things for a housewife from Claremont, California, who'd never had any experience doing those things.
Jimmy Durante, man, we're really throwing it back. What wasn't he Frosty? He was Frosty. I believe he was Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah, she did his show,
Awesome. Awesome. Who else is in the show with you?
Boyd Gaines, the wonderful Boyd Gaines, four-time Tony winner. He's awesome.
Got you beat.
Yo, totally. He's got me beat. And I have to talk about our writer and director, James Lapine, you know, who wrote Sunny in the Park with George.
Pulitzer Prize winner, I believe.
Pulitzer Prize winner, Into the Woods. I mean, he's an amazing writer and director doing our show. And we have Will LeBeau. We have Rebecca Brockman, Corey Mack. We have a wonderful, wonderful cast, just fabulous group.
Explain, is this the first staging of it, or has this been around for a while?
We did it 8 years ago at Martha's Vineyard, a smaller production, and it's changed. The show has changed for sure. But it's a wonderful production at Signature. Signature is a fabulous theater. The audiences are so great. Eric Shaver has done something very special here, and we're thrilled to be here. Really making the big debut of this show.
Awesome. Yeah. So explain, if our listeners, they're like, this sounds interesting. If they show up, what are they going to see visually? Like, how's the stage sort of set?
Well, we have a turntable, which is really interesting. And you're going to see basically the beginnings of the 60s when everything started to change. You'll see people starting off just like really happened. Like Will LeBeau is saying that, you know, in this span of years, you start off with a buttoned up kid, and then by 2 years later, you're like long hair and a hippie.
It was a
wild time in our history of our country where things dramatically changed and people dramatically changed. And it was the first time people stopped really believing their government. And I mean, it was really an interesting time. So you'll see a lot of things that way visually. You'll see a time capsule of that time. And it's beautifully staged, and you'll see wonderful costumes and wigs, and you'll get everything. You'll get your money's worth, that's for sure. And a lot of wonder. We have a wonderful band, or a live band. Matt Hinckley is our musical director. We have a wonderful, it's a really great, really fun. It's entertaining. Also, I think very moving and thought-provoking show. So I think you get a little bit of everything.
Awesome. What was the American Graffiti line? Where were you in 62? But yeah. All right. Well, actually, where were you when growing up? You grew up right here in the area.
I grew up in this. I was a kid in Arlington, Virginia. Went to Patrick Henry Elementary. And then we moved to Tacoma Park, Maryland. Then Wheaton, Maryland. Went to Wheaton High School. I went to Frostburg State College. So I have a lot of my friends from the area, high school friends, college friends, and my family have all come to see the show, which has been really lovely.
Man, all those local connections, Frostburg,
yeah,
college, that's great.
Fun.
So how do you make your way from Frostburg to being a Tony winner on Broadway? Well, how did that leap happen?
Well, I went to Frostburg, and you had to take a speech class. My teacher, Dr. Press, and I had never seen a play, had never been in a play.
So you didn't do it at Wheaton or anything?
I think I was a screamer and a fainter in Bye Bye Birdie. That's it.
And you loved Conrad.
That was it. But I did his speech class, and he said, you should try out for a play. And I said, I've never seen a play. And I did, and it was Harold Pinter's The Birthday Party. And I always say to this day, I don't know what the hell it's about. But anyway, I did that play, and I started to study acting at Frostburg. And he suggested I go to graduate school, so I went to Southern Methodist University. And then I went to New York, and for 4 years, I was a waitress and a typist. I didn't get anything right away. It took me a long time to get started. And then I co-wrote a show called Pump Boys and Dinettes that started my career in New York.
That's awesome. Yeah. But going back to the grad school thing for a second, what shows did you star in there?
Not much. I wasn't one of the stars of that show. I did the Joe Egg, and I did a show called, oh my God, I can't remember it. It was a musical version of She Stoops to Conquer. I wasn't one of the ones they've considered to be one of their top people. So I did a few things, but mainly I got a great education there, and I was able to come to New York well-trained.
What are some of the places you waitressed?
Well, I did mostly at McGowan's, but it's no longer there. Irish bar down in New York, I did that. And then I did a lot of temping in downtown area.
So great. Paying the dues. But you kind of crack into it, you said, by co-writing the show.
Pump Boys and Dinettes started off Broadway and ended up on Broadway, which was surprising that we wrote this little show, the six of us. And we were actually nominated for a Tony Award for that show for Best Musical. So it was a wild time for us, but it was great. Really, I'm feeling very lucky.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that gets a Tony nom, and then you win a few years later for Redwood Curtain.
I do. Lanford Wilson wrote this wonderful play, which I was able to do. It wasn't, it didn't last very long. We only ran about 6 weeks. In fact, when I won my Tony Award, the show had already closed. So nobody really wanted to talk to me. My friend said, yeah, you know what you are? You're a winner, but a loser at the same time.
Don't they usually wait until right after the Tonys? I usually see all the announcements of when everything's closing. But
no,
for you, it was before.
We closed right before.
Oh,
but
wow.
But I'm thrilled to have won that award. I'm very, very happy to have won that award. Absolutely.
Tell our listeners what that show is about.
Redwood Curtain was about a Vietnam vet who lives in the woods, basically, up in the northwest area, and a woman who runs has a forest in their family, and it's about people wanting to cut down these redwood curtains. And in this redwood forest is where these vets live, and it's about them coming together, this Vietnam vet and this woman and this young child who's been adopted. It's a fabulous piece, but it didn't run that long, so maybe 12 people saw it, but it was a great show.
Well, even if it was closed by the time you won the Tony, I'm sure that, it brought a lot of clout to your career.
It's a beautiful show, and Lanford Wilson is one of our treasures, that's for sure.
So after this, I'm sure you just start getting roll after roll.
Yeah, well, my career, I'm very lucky. I've worked a lot, but I never know what's going to come up. But I have been very, very, very thankfully employed and able to do movies and television and theater, and I'm very happy about being able to do all those things, so... it's very exciting.
Well, you mentioned movies and television real quick, and then we'll bring it full circle back around to Mrs. Miller. You won an Emmy for a guest thing on NYPD Blue.
Tell
us about that experience.
That was, they brought me in to play Dennis Franz's Sipowicz, his ex-wife. And I did one episode of that where our son had died. It was a very tearful episode. And then about 2 years later, they brought me back as she had turned into an alcoholic by this time. So I was like an alcoholic who was always, in trouble. And it was great, but they wrote me the most beautiful episode about her having troubles. And that's what won me the Emmy. They wrote a beautiful episode for me.
Wow. Yeah. And then on the movie side, were you with Pacino in Devil's Advocate?
I was.
Yeah. Yes, what was it like working with him?
He was amazing. I didn't get to be with him in too many scenes, but I got to be there watching him. And he was truly, it was a lesson in acting and film acting to watch him. And Meryl Streep as well. She is truly extraordinary. I've been lucky enough to work with Meryl in the movies and also in a play.
You were in Bridges of Madison County.
Yes, with her. And she's a very generous, one of the most generous people I've ever met, and such a pro and so great. Really lovely.
So are you for coming in here.
Well, thank you. It's thrilling to be here.
One more. Mozart in the Jungle.
Yes.
The current big hit.
Yes, and it's coming back. We're going to do our fourth season, and that's thrilling. We get to shoot that in New York, so I get to be home and shoot it, and it's a wonderful cast, fabulous a piece, and a wonderful character. I get to play a kind of a spicy, wonderful, wacky gal, and that was fun, really fun.
Malcolm McDowell?
Oh!
We talked to him about, fabulous. Last season or something. Yeah. What a guy.
He's fabulous. Boy, the energy, huh? How about that guy?
Woo!
Wow, crazy. Like a whirlwind.
Yeah,
one
exactly.
One of the great. The whole cast is fabulous. It's a great show.
Exactly. And speaking of, now here's how we bring it back around. You said Meryl Streep and, you know, Florence Foster Jenkins, and now you're doing your, you guys don't really, some maybe not the best singers, and come back around. So that, now we're back. And see, that was the segue.
Yeah.
Back to Mrs. Miller.
People bring that up. You know, there's about 70 years difference in all this. And she was a very wealthy woman. Who Florence Foster Jenkins, who was able to actually have rent Carnegie Hall. Mrs. Miller was very, very poor and had not much money. So the fact that she rose up into this very overnight type of sensation and sold these records was one of those American dreams, actually. In a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What else you got on tap? You have anything lined up? I know you did Cat on a Hot Tin Roof recently.
I did.
What else? Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
We're just focusing on this first.
We just have a few weeks left here, and I just hope everybody comes. It's a wonderful show, and like I said, the Signature Theater's been so wonderful to put us to do the show, and it's a great. I want everybody to come and see it. That's why.
Yeah.
I am
what's
right
the
now.
Final pitch? Why should we come? I mean, they've heard this and they just say this sounds cool.
Fun. You're going to have fun, but also you're going to learn something, I think, about this woman. And it's very moving. And it's also very thought provoking about this time in our country. So I think it has something for everybody, I think.
Should we show up, buttoned up in ties, and then as
no,
it goes, change into more of a 60s?
No, come and relax and enjoy yourself and just have a good time. Yeah.
And see Mrs. Monk do her thing
at
Signature Theater. Thank you. So sweet to come in. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. It runs now through March 26th at Signature Theater. Come check it out, everybody. Deborah Monk.
Thank you so much.